So, devotees, can you just remind me, when was I last here? I heard a rumor that it was at the last Rathiatra. Rathiatra?
Yes.
Was it?
Yes.
Was it?
Yes.
There wasn't another little visit.
There was something before that.
Before that?
No.
I mean, after that?
No.
Nothing? Really? Okay. Because, you know what I'm doing these days, as I travel around, at least one thing I've been doing, which I like, and the devotees seem to like, I've been doing a seminar about Srila Prabhupada pastimes, different things that Prabhupada did, and leelas and events and things he said, and you know, that sort of idea. What do you think? Would that be appropriate today?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay, let's try and see how it goes. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Did you remember, did I tell you ever, either last year or any time ever, about when I tried to touch Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet?
Yes, ma'am.
I did?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
No. Unless I heard a lecture myself.
Oh, okay. Okay, anyway, let's just, you know, let me just say, first of all, one or two things from Prabhupada, things which he said about himself, or you know, directly or indirectly about himself, and which sort of indicated a little more deeply who he is, what his background is, and what his sort of level is, these types of ideas. One time, Srila Prabhupada was in Mayapur. Earlier on, when Mayapur was just getting started, and they just got the land, and they had just built one small building, which is actually still there. It's near the entrance. Yeah, it's, I think they call it Srila Prabhupada's hut or house or something. Huh? What do they call it? Bhajan Kutia? Okay, so that was all there was. Otherwise, it was rice fields. Well, right at the beginning, of course, it was like that. Then they built what was called the, what is called the Lotus Building. And they were just in the process of building it, sort of halfway there. They built the main structure. And Prabhupada was up on the roof one time with a few, just a very small group of devotees, maybe three or four. And they're looking out from the top of this building relative to other buildings around there, which there weren't many of anyway, but compared to other buildings, it was really quite a big building. So they're looking out, and Mayapur, if you're familiar with Mayapur, it's flat. It really is quite flat. And it's tropical, so there are palm trees here and there. And then the Ganges, of course, is just a few hundred meters away. And they were up there looking around, and Srila Prabhupada was saying that Mayapur is just so beautiful. It's so wonderful. And the atmosphere is just so wonderful. Transcendental atmosphere. Prabhupada was saying, we'll build a big temple and people from all over the world will come and appreciate that just how special is Mayapur and just how extraordinary it is. And then Prabhupada said, but this material world, it's horrible. It is just horrible. It's so terrible, so many nasty, nasty things are going on, and devotees, don't ask me what he would say about Mr. Trump becoming president of America, but we're not into politics, so don't worry about it. And the more I think about it, which fortunately is not much, the more I realize, well, I shouldn't think about this, it's just not for me or us. So, but anyway, Prabhupada was saying this material world, it's just so terrible. And then Srila Prabhupada said to the devotees, I didn't want to come here to the material world. I didn't want to come here. But Krishna told me, you must come. You have to give them your books. And Srila Prabhupada, telling the devotees, Srila Prabhupada said that, then I told Krishna, but I don't want to come because it's just so horrible. I don't want to come. And Prabhupada said, but Krishna said again, you must come. You must give them your books. If you don't do that, what can be done for these people? That's interesting, isn't it? In other words, Srila Prabhupada is not just another devotee or, you know, even like a special devotee. Srila Prabhupada is really a most extraordinary personality sent by Krishna. Another time in London, actually, I was not there. It was 1972. I hadn't yet joined or even come to England yet. And Prabhupada was there. At that time there was just one small temple in the center of London, Berry Place. And Srila Prabhupada, there was a temple room there. It was not bigger than this temple room, but it was narrower and longer. Yeah. And Srila Prabhupada, if you can imagine, if we just say it was like this, except much narrower and longer going that way, and there's the deities. And what are the names of the deities in central London, devotees? Radha, London, Ishwara. What about in the future, when you're ready, when you're ready? Being the sort of crucial point. What about Radha Newcastle Ishwara for the future? Right now I wouldn't, you know, worry about it too much, but you'd be surprised what can happen if you put your mind to it. Yeah. So Srila Prabhupada, so you've got the altar there. And Srila Prabhupada's Vyasasan actually writes right exactly where his Vyasasan is, except it's a bit narrower. So the Vyasasan is kind of a little in front of the altar on the, you know, on that side, little bit. And angled, something like the Vyasasan is angled, but actually a little bit more towards the deities than the Vyasasan there. And where Prabhupada was sitting, he could almost lean across and touch the deities. Not quite, but it really was very close. So Srila Prabhupada, one morning he gave class and he's sitting, then afterwards he remained sitting on the Vyasasan and nobody moved, because you didn't move until Prabhupada left after he'd completed the programs, everyone sitting there. And Prabhupada's sitting there. And Prabhupada, of course he's on the other side, but he's looking at Radha Vandaneshwara for, you know, some several seconds or 10 or 15 seconds. He's like studying them. And he turned to the devotees, and Srila Prabhupada became quite emotional. And Prabhupada said to the devotees with great feeling, "I have captured Krishna, and I'm holding him here for you. Please come and take him." From time to time, Prabhupada would do things like that, say things and just sort of manifest himself in such ways. Very, very extraordinary or unique devotee in our times. One time I was there, actually in Bhaktivedanta Manor, which we got just some, it was 1973, perhaps May or so. Prabhupada came very shortly after to see how things were going, and he stayed for a while to instruct the devotees how to manage and develop this big place, very big and quite prestigious place. So anyway, one morning, Srila Prabhupada was about to give class, sitting on the Vyasasan in Bhaktivedanta Manor. I don't know if any of you have been there, but it's the same today, that Prabhupada's Vyasasan, unlike in that other temple I just mentioned, buried place in the center of London, where the Vyasasan is right next to the altar. In the manor, Prabhupada's Vyasasan is right down the other end, exactly opposite, exactly facing the altar. And Prabhupada was sitting there, just finished Jairada Madhava. And we were sitting, the way we would sit is that the deities, of course, are there, Prabhupada's down there, but we don't turn our backs to the deities. I can tell you a story about that too, but let's just say we don't do that. And obviously we don't turn our backs to Prabhupada. So the way we sat, we would sit, if there's a sort of dividing line right down the middle, on either side of the dividing line, the devotees would sit facing the center. So here they're facing like directly across, and over there they're facing directly across, but looking back at Srila Prabhupada, but seated in that, you know, in that position across. So looking at Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada, again, he's looking at the deities, and he looked at the deities for, I don't know, 10 seconds or, you know, a noticeable time. And we're just sitting there, watching and waiting. And then Srila Prabhupada told us, Radha and Krishna are dancing very happily today. And we all, there must have been 200 or 300 devotees, perhaps even more, there, looking at Prabhupada. Everyone turned to see Radha and Krishna dancing very happily. But Radha and Krishna were standing there as usual. And then we understood Prabhupada has special vision, because he's a special, very special person. So that's just a couple of little incidents just to give some indication of Srila Prabhupada's position, and there's no one who can compete with him, at least in the modern age, like the last, since the passing of his spiritual master. That was 1935, I think, January the 1st, or 6, was it? Anyway, right at that time, till now. There's just been nobody at all, who was on anything like the level of Srila Prabhupada. And we are extremely fortunate to be connected with Prabhupada, point one. And point two, to be connected, but to be connected in such a way that we have that vision, that perspective on him. Because, you know, there are others who are devotees. They're devotees. But somehow they have some, like, serious attachment. They have some attachment to Prabhupada. But they have some serious attachment, some other. You know, usually one of his godbrothers or somebody like that, one of his peers, contemporaries. So they like Prabhupada. But they don't see him like this. They don't understand him as he is. And we all know how important as it is, or as he is in this case, is, right? That we're talking about something super foundational. Yeah. So it's our good fortune to just be connected, but then it's also our really good fortune to be able to have some sort of appreciation like that. And of course we need to develop it further, but at least if we have that appreciation that Srila Prabhupada is that special, unique personality, and therefore we owe our everything, and we'll do everything we can to offer our everything to him. Let me tell you, I mean, that was all a bit serious. Let me tell you something, it's also serious actually, but it's also a little light-hearted, from Bhaktivedanta Manor. How many of you have been to Bhaktivedanta Manor? Ek, Do, Do. Oh, haven't you been? Okay. Anyway, Bhaktivedanta Manor. We had just moved in, and the devotees, this is this big place, and it was kind of run down to some degree. There'd just been one old lady living there for quite some years, and it's just a monstrous place. By ordinary houses standards, it is really big. And so it was not properly cared for. And now Prabhupada came, and Prabhupada was giving Bhagavad Gita class every morning. Bhagavad Gita. Not Srimad Bhagavatam. And we were in the central London temple, that's where I was staying. But we would come out every few days and attend the program and hear Prabhupada's class. So, one day there we were. Prabhupada gave class, then he asked for questions. And the temple president from Edinburgh, Scotland, he asked Prabhupada a question. He said, Srila Prabhupada, in our temple in Edinburgh, we have many rats. And you know, because it's a very old building, and the rats are dangerous. So Srila Prabhupada, is it all right if we kill the rats? And Srila Prabhupada answered, if you kill the rats, you should be killed. And the temple, we all heard it. The temple president didn't quite catch it. And so he asked Prabhupada again. He said, but no, Srila Prabhupada, it's a very old building. There are many rats and they're dangerous. They carry diseases. And so Srila Prabhupada, is it all right if we kill the rats? And Srila Prabhupada said, if you kill the rats, you should be killed again. Now, in Bhaktivedanta manner, the good news in that regard, the very good news was, we had no rats. Isn't that nice? Why? Because they'd all been eaten by the mice. That's just a joke. But we had mice. We could have exported mice for years and made millions. There were so many mice, it was unbelievable. You couldn't walk into any room anywhere in the whole establishment. You know, some room where there's nobody at the moment, open the door, walk in. You couldn't do that without seeing half a dozen mice at least. And in the morning, during Mangal Arati, the mice were dancing on the altar. They were dancing. And in the middle of the arati, the pujari would try and chase them away and then come back and continue offering the arati. By the time he had turned the item one time, they were back on the altar. It was phenomenal. So we asked Srila Prabhupada what to do. And Srila Prabhupada said, these mice are not here for the association. They are here for food. So if you keep the place clean, the mice will go away. Because they want food, they need food. If they cannot get any food, they must go. So we had a group of about 4 or 5 devotees. It was their only service to clean the building, which was big, but still, you know, it didn't take all day to clean it. They cleaned the building 3 or 4 times a day. It was spotless, completely. And the mice stayed. And we thought, maybe they are here for the association. Maybe they were devotees in their previous lifetimes. It was really quite mind-boggling. So the devotees did a very intelligent thing, really. Took a remarkable step. You know what the devotees did? They got a cat. And you know what they named the cat? Nrsinga Devi. Because it was a female. And Nrsinga Devi. Within a few days, Nrsinga Devi had put on a lot of weight. And we were just not seeing mice around much at all. But occasionally we would find part of a mouse. Anyway, Hare Krishna. Okay. Yeah, I joined there in London. It was January the 7th, 1973. I joined the temple January the 7th, 1973. And in the temple in the center, because we didn't have the manor yet. And it was really wonderful. There's like 60 of us living in this one building, right in the center. And there were a number of very outstanding devotees, including His Holiness Parthasarathy Maharaj, actually. and various others, Jananda Maharaj, who has been here, Dira Shanta Maharaj, who's been here and who's coming again in a few weeks, Prabhu Vishnu Prabhu, who came once, and various others. Bhakti Vrajendra Nandan Swami, I don't know if you ever heard of him. He passed away just a few, when was it? A month ago. So, but there's this one devotee named Tribhuvanath, who also passed away for that matter. Maybe 10 years ago he got stomach cancer. And Tribhuvanath Prabhu, he was a very special person. He would come into the brahmachari room, or there were two really, but one, the main one. And we would sleep on the floorboards, wooden floor, in our sleeping bags. You would just find a space, you know, that wide by a couple of meters, and you just get in there. And sure enough, during the night, every now and then, you'd wake up with someone's lotus foot in your, not just face, but your mouth. And your feet in someone's face. Communal living, but it was fun. This Tribhuvanath Prabhu, he would come in late. And he always had some rounds to finish. He was one of those devotees. He always had some rounds to finish. And he'd go and sit in the corner, sit down cross-legged and chant, and fall asleep. And when we woke up, he was sitting in the corner, sitting. And we'd wake him up, and he'd sit up, and immediately just, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He was very special for that. But, let's see. Oh yeah, here's an interesting one. This is slightly X-rated actually, so fasten your seatbelts. Tribhuvanath Prabhu asked Prabhupada, what is it? What is Krishna doing to us when sometimes he puts us into difficulty or lets us get into difficulty or tests us, you know, some sickness comes maybe, or just some trying circumstances, these types of situations. What is Krishna doing to us? And Srila Prabhupada said, it is something like when a young man, younger boy, young man, and a young girl, they're together and they bite each other. Prabhupada said, what is that? Love bite. And he said, yes, that's what it is. Krishna is giving the devotee a love bite. It hurts. It hurts. But it's actually an expression of affection. One time, Tribhuvana, he was going to come here. He was preaching in Africa. He was going to come here, but unfortunately he passed away. He wanted to come, we discussed it. So he came into Prabhupada's room in Berry Place and found Srila Prabhupada listening to a tape recording of the class he had just given half an hour ago in the temple. And Tribhuvanath Prabhu asked him, Srila Prabhupada, why are you listening to your class? A rather bold question. And Prabhupada said, because it is not my class. It is Krishna speaking. And therefore I relish it. I relish it. Because these are the words of Krishna. Tribhuvanath, anyway, just as an interesting little aside, and it all reflects on Prabhupada, of course. He joined the temple when he was 17. How old are you?
13.
13. 4 years to go. He joined the temple in London. central London. He was Irish, and his family, parents, and so on, they were somewhere in the middle of Ireland, country area. And he didn't tell them he had become a devotee. And he'd already been a devotee for a year, and his parents, he had no communication with them. They didn't know. One day, the temple president told him, "We are all going to India." There's about five or six of them. "We're all going to India." And he said, "But who's going to run the temple?" "You." "But who'll be the temple president?" "You." So he became one man, ISKCON London. So there he was. Now he got a bit older. Now he's 18. And he's the temple president. Not just temple president, he was the leader of ISKCON in the United Kingdom, actually. One morning, the BBC TV phoned up. "Can we speak to your chairman, your leader?" "Yes, that's me." "We want to interview you, television interview. Can we come over?" "Sure." So they came over, they interviewed him. "And who are you?" "Yes, I am Tribhuvanath Das. I am the head of the Hare Krishna movement in the United Kingdom at the moment." 18 years old. And his parents in Ireland, they saw this. And that was the first they'd seen of him for a year. And suddenly, he's the leader of the Hare Krishna movement in the UK. One time, he and another devotee, they were taking Prabhupada by taxi past Buckingham Palace, the residence of the royal family. And it's a very impressive place. So they're driving up. I don't know if you know London, there's a road that comes straight up to the entrance and then goes around. So they're coming up and you can see it coming up a little few hundred meters away. And the one devotee said, "Srila Prabhupada, one of the guards from Buckingham Palace has become a devotee. One of the men with the black hats. He has become a devotee. Very important man. It is very significant. He has become a devotee." And Srila Prabhupada, now they're just right by the front and sort of coming around a bit. And Srila Prabhupada very nonchalantly said, "Mm-hmm. And what about the Queen?" Prabhupada had a sense of humor. Let me tell you, as a matter of interest, did Mother Malati and Vishaka, did they come to Newcastle when they visited South Africa? Ah, they should have come, you missed it. They traveled around, and they are, very senior, and female disciples of Prabhupada's are there. Very interesting perspective. She, Malati, was there with Prabhupada in Mayapur before that lotus building was built, and there was only this, it's basically a glorified hut, was there. And she was cooking for Prabhupada every day. And one day, and serving, she would serve Prabhupada lunch. And one day Srila Prabhupada told her that some of my, like three or four or so, of my sannyas godbrothers are coming for lunch tomorrow. So just, make sure you cook enough for like five people or so. And Mother Malati, she knew that Prabhupada's godbrothers They're very kind of, they're sort of, what to say, formal, ritualistic, and, you know, kind of stuffy, and kind of racist, little bit, and in her sort of, really different from Prabhupada, just in terms of personality. And she thought, you know, I'm a woman, I can't cook for them, and I definitely can't serve them. They'll, you know, like, wonder what is Prabhupada doing, having a woman doing all these things. So she asked, there was only a handful of devotees around. She asked all the men, could you cook tomorrow? No, busy. At least could you serve prasada? No, busy. So she had to do it. So she did. And what she did, she cooked, and then she started serving. And when she started serving, she of course had a sari on, and the top of her sari, so to speak, you know how the tradition is, it's on the head, covering the head. She had it pulled over her face. Completely, totally. If you've been to Vrindavan, you would have seen the older, at least the older village women, they do that. And she did it right, totally, like over to about here. And now she's serving, sort of, you know, trying to be as far away from them as possible. And trying to really be discreet. And in the middle of lunch, as she's serving, Srila Prabhupada, in a loud voice, told his godbrothers, this is Malati Devi Dasi. She is from America. She is my disciple. And now, of course, they're all looking at her, and she's trying to kind of shrivel up somewhere. And Prabhupada said, she would slit her throat for me, and I would slit my throat for her. Anyway, I leave that with you. But anyway, okay. Here's another Malati story. She's a great soul. If you ever get the chance to get her association, please do. If she comes back again, I think she may do. We'll definitely get her to come here because her association is valuable. She was again cooking for Prabhupada, but it was at a Delhi Pandal program, big tent campaign, 10 or maybe even 20,000 people a night, very big. And she was cooking for Prabhupada. And she was cooking in this room, which it was just four walls, a ceiling and a floor. And that was it. There was no window. There was no table. The cooker was on the concrete floor. And somehow things were set up in such a way. There was always like 5 centimeters of water permanently on the floor. And she's wearing a sari and she has to crouch down to cut everything and to cook everything. And the sari was just absorbing the water and she was just wet completely, you know, like at least up to the knees every day. And one day she was out purchasing veggies at a market and she saw some like village people from Rajasthan selling these colorful Rajasthani skirts. which come sort of halfway between the knee and the ankles, and they're multicolored with little mirrors and real sort of, you know, lively, jolly looking pieces of clothing. It's called a gagra. A gagra from Rajasthan. And she thought, wow, hey, this is the answer. Now I don't have to get wet, soaking every day. I'll get one of these. So she did. And she thought, Prabhupada never comes into the kitchen, so it's all right. Because Prabhupada had never come into the kitchen at all, not once. So now, next day, she has her gagra on. She's cooking away in 5 centimeters of water, but she's dry. And she thought, this is it. We've solved the problem. And what should happen? Tell me what happened. Prabhupada walked in. And Prabhupada just looked at her and just looked at this dress. And Prabhupada said, what is this? And just walked out. She immediately put her sari on and became wet again. Let me, you know, there's many things. Normally I do this for 4 days. It's quite a substantial course. Let me tell you another prasadam story, because you all like prasadam. Prabhupada one day approached the Delhi temple president. His name at that time, it was Tejas Das. And he's still a very active devotee. I saw him a few months ago in Mumbai. Really nice. So Prabhupada, and in Delhi at that time, there were very few devotees. The temple was a flat. A two-bedroom flat that was ISKCON Delhi in those days. And Prabhupada approached Tejas and Prabhupada said, Can you cook upma? Do you know what upma is? Have you met upma? Really? It is like a cousin of halava. Not a brother or a sister. It's a cousin. It's not sweet. It's salty, spicy. But it's semolina. It's semolina. But with spices and salt and veggies. Some veggies. But it's a grainy preparation. Upma. I think it's South Indian. So anyway, Prabhupada asked him, can you cook upma? Tejas Prabhu, who's very conservative, he said, somewhat, Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, my cook is sick. I need someone to cook. Please cook upma. So Tejas Prabhu, he went down, just down from the temple around the corner, was a super duper. What do they say? Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, super duper, 7-star vegetarian restaurant. You heard of 5-star? Don't worry about it. This was 7 stars. It was like from the heavenly planets, really. And no onions and no garlic. So he went and met the head cook, and the head cook gave him a recipe for upma from the heavenly planets. Oh yeah, it was just amazing. So he made it for Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada, when he ate lunch or any time, he would normally take a bit. He would not eat all of anything. And he would never ask for seconds, because he'd never need seconds. He was a light eater. This time, he ate everything. And he asked Tejas Prabhu, is there more? Yes, Srila Prabhupada, he brought in more. Same amount. Prabhupada ate all of it. And Prabhupada asked, is there more? Tejas brought the rest, all that there was, and gave it to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada ate it all, everything, three full helpings. Didn't make any comments. Next morning, you're probably aware, every morning Prabhupada would be up early translating, early. And then he'd go for his morning walk. He didn't get up early. He got up just in time for the morning walk. And out he went with, you know, a few devotees, a couple of sannyasis, one or two perhaps GBCs, the most senior devotees, and Tejas, the temple president also. But and Prabhupada, normally he would walk fast. And even young men sometimes would struggle to keep up with him because it was not like a scenic cruise. It was exercise. But not today. Prabhupada was walking really slowly. And every now and then Prabhupada would stop, generally, and put his walking stick down, kind of firmly, and turn to the devotees and say something every now and then, make some statement about life in this world, or some comment about society. Prabhupada was walking, Prabhupada stopped, turned to one or two of the devotees and said, that boy who cooked the upa for me yesterday, he tried to poison me. Everyone was just shocked, and they just looked at Tej, just like, what are you doing? And Prabhupada said, yes, the upa was so nice, I ate too much, and this morning my stomach is upset. Let me tell you something about Srila Prabhupada and his compassion. One devotee asked Prabhupada, is the spiritual master, meaning Prabhupada, is the spiritual master present in the heart of the disciple? And Srila Prabhupada replied, yes, if you let me enter. Prabhupada said, the disciple and spiritual master are never separated because the spiritual master always keeps company with the disciple. As long as the disciple follows strictly the instructions of the spiritual master. One time in Los Angeles, Prabhupada was staying there. He stayed for some number of months in Los Angeles at one time, maybe 73 perhaps. So Prabhupada was there, and one girl joined the temple. Young, sort of late teens, maybe 20, maybe 21 at the most. Just a young person. Joined the temple, and she saw the books, and she saw the paintings in the books, and she became really inspired. And she told the devotees, you know, I'm an artist. I want to paint for the books. So the head of the BBT, Rameshwar Swami, and his second in command, who was very staunch brahmachari, they said, well, okay, paint something and we'll show it to Prabhupada and we'll see what he thinks. So she painted a painting of Krishna looking kind of disturbed. And they didn't ask her, what is this? But they just took her and the painting And they went in and showed Prabhupada. And Prabhupada looked at this painting. And Prabhupada's shaking his head. You know, like, it's not your sort of Indian, like, you know, everything's okay, shake of the head. It's like, no, no, this is not. And Prabhupada said, what is this painting? What is it? And the girl said, Srila Prabhupada, it is Krishna feeling separation from Radharani. And Srila Prabhupada looked at it and shook his head and said, no, no, no. This is not what Krishna looks like when he's feeling separation from Radharani. Separation is the greatest bliss. Prabhupada said, you have made Krishna look like some young boy who just lost his girlfriend. So we cannot use this painting. Take this painting away. So they handed the painting back over. And the girl was just devastated. Just devastated. On the spot. She just started crying and sobbing and really emotional. And the sannyasi and the very staunch brahmachari, they're trying to influence her. Come on, let's go. But they couldn't touch her. But she's just too emotional. She just sat there for about a minute, just crying. And Prabhupada's sitting, looking. Then Prabhupada said, 1 minute. Let me see that painting again. So they gave him the painting. Prabhupada's now looking at the painting. No, he's nodding his head. Prabhupada, you know, after some seconds said, yes, we can use this painting. We will call this painting, Krishna has a headache. And I think it's in one of the books from that time, you know, from those days. And she became like an established artist in ISKCON. I'll just tell you, what should I tell you? Another one or two. What's the time? Okay, just another one or two. Here's an interesting one. Listen to this. One day Prabhupada was being massaged. And while he's being massaged, his secretary is reading the mail to him. Yeah. And there's a couple of other devotees seated there, and one of the devotees who was there told us this story personally. And so the secretary's reading one letter, then the next letter, and a few letters. And then one letter he read to Srila Prabhupada. One devotee wrote to Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, I am having so much difficulty in my Krishna consciousness. So much difficulty. I'm trying to practice, but then after a little while, I smoke a cigarette. Somehow, I can't stop myself. And then for a few weeks, I'm smoking. But then somehow, I stop myself again. And I carry on for a couple of weeks, not smoking. But then something goes wrong, and I smoke again. And then I smoke for a couple of weeks. Somehow I stop myself. So this one devotee who was listening, he's listening and he's thinking to himself, what a nonsense. What sort of devotee is this? Smoking. Stupid. But the letter went on. No, three or four instances, I stop, but then I smoke again for a couple of weeks, and I stop, and then I'm struggling so much in the Prabhupada. And so this devotee is thinking, What sort of... This is not a devotee. He's not a devotee. He's just a useless. And the letter finished. And Prabhupada sitting there being massaged and very, like, thoughtful, sort of pensive state. And Srila Prabhupada said, what a great soul. He's struggling so hard for Krishna. Even though he has such a serious problem, he's not giving up. He's trying for Krishna. What a great soul. And that devotee who had been sitting there thinking, he's not a devotee. What a shock it was for him. What a shock. Don't think, devotees, that it's okay for you to smoke cigarettes and then you'll be a great soul. No, this is special situation. So, okay, I'm going to tell you two more stories. Is that okay? Nice warm day. At least it's not too cold. At least it's not minus 20. So, okay. This is a joke. Srila Prabhupada occasionally told actual jokes. This is a joke. It is about prasadam. It is a prasadam joke. It is also slightly X-rated, so anyone who's under 18, just, you know, I don't know. So, this is a joke Prabhupada told. There's this one devotee, and one night in the temple, one night, there was a big feast. Really, really, really a big feast. And he ate so much till he just couldn't move. And the last thing he ate was some big, round, golden brown, juicy, effulgent gulab jamun. All you had to do was look at it and juice would squirt out. And he ate the whole thing. And that was it. Finished. And he just conked out completely and slept. Next morning he woke up. Must go to the toilet. He ran to the toilet and passed store. Oh, what a relief. And he turned around and looked at the stool in the toilet. And he spoke to the stool in the toilet. And he said, look at you. Look at you. You are so horrible. And you smell so bad. Look at you, you're terrible. And don't forget, Prabhupada is telling this. And the stool replied. And the stool said, don't talk about me like that. Don't say things like that about me. Last night, I was that gulab jamun. And after just one night's association with you, see what happened to me. That's a Prabhupada joke. And the actual last thing I'll tell you is an experience of mine, personal experience with Srila Prabhupada. It was the second time I saw Prabhupada. First time I was at university in Auckland, New Zealand. April 1972. This is like May or possibly even June 73. Now I joined the temple I traveled to London, joined the temple in London. There we are, and Prabhupada came. Prabhupada came from Heathrow. At that time, the only airport in London came to the manor by helicopter. Helicopter landed, and all the devotees from all over Europe were there. There was perhaps 500 temple resident devotees there. Really a lot. And they lined up two rows from the helicopter around into the front door of the manor and through the manor to the bottom of the stairs going up to Prabhupada's quarters. And I'm one of the new boys, fairly new. So I was towards the end of the line inside the building. And Prabhupada came along, and as Prabhupada would pass by, the devotees would offer obeisances, so sort of like a domino effect, if you know what I mean. Prabhupada's moving along the line, and he came to us, and we offered our obeisances, of course. But Prabhupada stopped, not right in front of me, but right in front of the devotee next to me. Stopped and was talking to, there's a devotee called Brahmananda, who at the time was a sannyasi, and actually he passed away a few years ago too. So he's talking with Brahmananda and maybe one other devotee in front of the devotee next to me, and we didn't know what to do. Should we stay down, because it's already 1 minute, or should we get up and just carry on with life? But we decided to take the conservative approach. We stayed down. So the devotee next to me, he put his hand out. Prabhupada's in front of him. Put his hand out slowly, slowly. Prabhupada's like a meter or slightly more than a meter away, you know. Had to extend himself a little, and he touched Prabhupada's lotus foot. That now we're still down, and he turned to me. Our heads are down. He turned to me, and he went, "Go on." Okay, all right. What do they say? Fools rush in, angels fear to tread. So, okay, out comes my hand, slowly. But Prabhupada's a little further away. And Brahmananda's there, somewhere there. And Brahmananda had this danda. See, I've got a danda, sannyas danda. His sannyas danda was like at least 4 times thicker. I mean, it was... really, you had to use like maybe even 2 hands to hold it. And it was big, heavy danda. And he saw my hand sneaking out, coming out. And with his big danda, he went bang, bang. And I started pulling my hand out again. But the devotee next to me is still down. He turned to me. So, again, out comes the hand, slowly, slowly. And Prabhupada's a little further away than from the other devotee. So I had to stretch, and then stretch, and stretch. Ah! And I managed to touch Prabhupada's lotus foot. And I think that's why I'm still here today. Srila Prabhupada King. Srila Prabhupada King. Srila Prabhupada King. Go Premanande. Hari Bol. Oh, it's only 6 o'clock. It's early. Should I answer the questions or what should we do? Should answer. Okay. We had a kirtan night in Mauritius. Started about 7, came to about 10 o'clock and we finished. And this one devotee, actually Navi Yogendra Swami, he protested. I thought you said this was a kirtan night. This was just a kirtan evening. So, devotees, we have plenty of time. What encouraged me to join ISKCON? You know, reflecting back, I think a very important, although at the time unknown, impetus or source of impetus was the association I had with Srila Prabhupada. And not that we really, I mean, we spoke together later, but, you know, in those early and pre-early days, we'd never spoken together. But just seeing him, being in his presence, hearing him, it really had a very profound effect on me. Another thing which encouraged me, which I didn't talk about, but when I came from New Zealand to England in 72, I came on a ship, a passenger liner, like a cruise liner. In those days, it was not so common for people to fly. You know, taking ships was fairly normal. And we stopped in, and actually I stayed in Sydney for about a couple of months before then going on to London. And in Australia, one of the world's leading surfers, would you believe, named Ted Spencer. At the time, he was just one of the top in the world, became a devotee. And he was initiated by Prabhupada Krishna Chaitanya Das. And he surfed in the world championships with a shaved head and seeker. And he's still a devotee. And anyway, he gave one of his friends a Simply Wonderful. You know what a Simply Wonderful is, right? But you never saw a Simply Wonderful like this. It was like that size. Really. And he told him, take it to all the surfers and get them to take a bite. We were up at the northern end of Sydney. And by the time it got to us, it was now only about that size. And it had many tooth marks on it. And Spider came, this guy, Spider, was the friend of Ted Spencer. His name was Spider. And his friend, take a guess what his friend's name was. Spider and Fly. So Spider and Fly rolled up at our place where we were staying with this, you know, obviously well chomped on, Simply Wonderful, and told me, take a bite. Ted Spencer says you must take a bite. Oh, okay. So I took a bite. So that was something. That was the first prasadam I had. But the thing is, when I finally moved into the temple, or I was staying as a guest initially, you know, I started practicing. And at that time, I had many anxieties. Really. Life was not nice. But I was chanting and, you know, staying in the temple and just doing everything. And I found just in a few days, all these anxieties just suddenly they weren't there. Not like I argued them away or sort of defeated them in argument. I just saw, hey, why am I worried about this? This is nothing. And these things just dissolved. So that was a very powerful experience, seeing how Krishna consciousness works. And it really helps on a deeper level. So there's a couple of things. Can you tell the story of how you tried to touch Prabhupada's feet? I did. Oh, and about how Prabhupada explained how to distribute books. Well, there are many more stories, like I said. There's a whole seminar. But how Prabhupada explained to distribute books. I was in Srila Prabhupada's room in Bhaktivedanta Manor, I think it was 74. And Prabhupada would give darshan, and some of us, like 10 maybe, small, not a large number of devotees, we'd go in and sit there, and some would ask questions, and Prabhupada would say some things. So one time, devotee asked Prabhupada, how should we distribute your books? What should we say? And Prabhupada stood up and picked up a book and walked over to one of the devotees and handed him the book. Devotee's sitting on the floor. And Prabhupada said, what you should say is, my dear sir, I can see that you are very intelligent. In fact, you are the most intelligent person I have met all day. And for you, sir, I have just one thing I want to say. That is, please forget all your nonsense and take this book. And that's what Prabhupada said to say. That's how he demonstrated how to distribute books. And in the same darshan, a devotee asked Prabhupada, it's what we sometimes call a what if question, very hypothetical. What if there was some unusual situation? What if? Then what should we do? So the devotee asked Prabhupada a question, what if a devotee is on like a desert island and there's just with one animal and there's just nothing to eat. He's eaten all the seaweed and there's just nothing else to eat. Would it be all right to kill the animal and eat the animal? And Srila Prabhupada said, the devotee would rather die. So we understand that Srila Prabhupada, as you've described, is more than special. This sometimes seems to minimize the physical hardship, the stroke, malaria, diabetes, etc., that Prabhupada endured. Srila Prabhupada appeared to have physically pushed his body beyond normal physical limits. What is the proper understanding on this matter? Well, you know, the thing is, yes, that Prabhupada, he was able to do that. You know, these superhuman things. Because he was more than special. If it had just been you or me, you know, let's be frank, we would have conked out. Yeah. Taken a break. Prabhupada never took a break. Yeah. Even when he was sick, he practically never took a break. So, and he only slept. You know, at night he'd sleep 2 to 3 hours, and in the afternoon after lunch he'd sleep maybe an hour, maybe. So it's like 3 to 4 hours a night. Give it a try. And I'll be back for Rath Yatra, April the 1st, April Fool's Day. And we'll check how you're doing. Okay? Give it a try. Sometimes 2 hours a night. See how it goes. Yeah. He was a transcendental personality. If one reads Srila Prabhupada's books even without understanding, will one benefit? Yes. You know, there's that famous, well, Prabhupada speaking at the end of class, please distribute book, distribute book, distribute book. If you want to please me, distribute my books. And Prabhupada said, if they read one line, I forget how he started, but you know, if they read one sentence, if they read one line, if they read one word, their lives will be changed. Yeah. So, just one word. If they just touch the book, their lives will never be the same. You know, I saw Prabhupada first time when I was at university in 1972, April, Auckland, New Zealand. And he led kirtan, and there was some kirtan by others also. And then he spoke. And I struggled to follow what he was saying because of the accent. I struggled. I was just picking up bits and pieces. Yeah. It's not that I heard the lecture and I learned from it. Really wasn't. Next time I saw him in the manor, then I understood. But at that time, but still it had a tremendous impact. Very big impact on the heart. Yeah. Because, you know, Chaitanya Charitamrita says, you know that verse, sadhu sangha, sarva shastre koi, lava matra sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi hoy, that association of devotees, all the scriptures say that just a moment's association with a devotee can bring all perfection. And the actual Sanskrit or Bengali term used in Sanskrit is lava matra, lava. Lava, L-A-V-A, is a Vedic unit of time. It is 1/16th of a second. So it's just a flash. And but the verse is lava matra sadhu sangha sarva siddhi hoy. Just for that just instant tiny little touch of association with a sadhu can bring all perfection. So, you know, in 1/16th of a second, you or a sadhu or Prabhupada or me or you or anybody, what can you tell someone in 1/16th of a second? In 1/16th of a second, you cannot even say, Hare Krishna. Can you? Can't say it. 1/16th of a second. Hare Krishna. But just that, you know, it's immeasurable by our normal standards, period of time. That sort of association, just being in the presence of such a person. And of course, the books are a form of the Lord, and they're forms of Srila Prabhupada, no less than he himself in the physical form. So therefore, if someone reads, touches, reads, and they can't really follow, still there's immense benefit. And their lives, and they will never be the same. Hare Krishna. Oh, yeah, okay, that's the end. That's the end of the question. So now we'll have Guru Puja to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.